chapter 1, where in verse 30, looking at the results, I guess, the consequences of a reprobate mind, we saw last week that inventors of evil things, which brings us to disobedient to parents. Disobedient to parents. Notice in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and the second verse, this is one of the characteristics of the last days. In verse 1, this know also that in the last day perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, which that statement explains everything else in the chapter. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. That statement, disobedient to parents, has to do with the authority of parents. The authority of parents in raising children. That statement tells us that there is a rebellion against that God-given authority. In the Bible, the family, and the Bible has a lot to say about the family. In the Bible, the family does not exist for its own benefit. It exists for the glory of God. And in the Bible, the family belongs to God. Those are two basic principles that have been long forgotten. The family exists for the glory of God, and the family belongs to God. Two very important principles. God created the family. God designed it. And in doing so, he determined its inner structure. You have a family, and that family has to have structure. There has to be structure. There has to be an order for the family. And there is. There is a divine order for the family. That order is rejected, and therefore we have all kinds of problems, not only within the family, but within society. So with this in mind, that there is a divine order for the family, turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Again, we're considering this statement, disobedient to parents, so we're not going to get into all the details of the order of the family, but it's pretty plain. In Ephesians 5, verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. That's a phrase that husbands who take their headship beyond the bounds that God has set need to consider this phrase, submitting yourselves one to another. That's husbands and wives. It's in church relationship here. But goes on, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. You do so as you would do so unto the Lord. That does not mean that the husband is God. Doesn't mean that. Verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands and everything. So there's an order for husbands and wives. There's a very specific order, and we're not getting into the details of that. Husbands, love your wives. It doesn't say wives, love your husbands. It says husbands, love your wives. Because this headship thing is not to overstep God's bounds. Husbands, love your wives, even as, so a comparison is being made. Christ also loved the church, and he gave himself for it. He did this with a purpose, that he might sanctify and cleanse it. He did it for the church's good, for the church's benefit. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church. That is, you do those things that are for her benefit, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives. That's the second time it's been stated. As their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it. That's what the husband is to do to the wife, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. That is how two individuals become one individual. This is a great mystery. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. His main subject here is not marriage or husband and wife. The main subject is, just been stated, Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, that's the third time, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Children. So there's a definite order, husband and wife. Children. Now there's an order for children. Obey your parents. Obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right. So there's authority. There's authority. But in order for authority to be properly maintained, authority between husband and wife, or the order between husband and wife, must be maintained. If there's a breakdown there, there's a breakdown with the children as well. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And I believe that. Honor your father and mother. That goes beyond our child-rearing years. That goes well into adulthood. I believe that goes after our mother and father have passed on. We're still to honor them as our parents. That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long in the earth. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. It's interesting that that's addressed to fathers and not mothers. But bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Our point is, again, disobedient to parents. What we see here in this order is it is an order of authority. It is an order of responsibility. Husband, wife, children. There is authority. There is responsibility. Now this statement, disobedient to parents, is a rejection of that authority. It is a, we're talking about child rearing years. When you are no longer under your parents' authority as far as raising you, they don't hopefully tell you what to do, and you don't have to obey what they say. But you're to honor them. You're to honor them. But you're not under their authority. But in our child rearing years, we are under their authority. And to be disobedient to parents is a rejection of that authority. It is a rebellion against that authority and responsibility. I've stated many times that you don't need the Bible to prove the sinfulness of mankind. You can watch an infant and see the sinfulness of mankind. You can see the rebellion against authority. Disobedient to parents. The divine order for the family is for the good of the family. It is for the well-being of the family. It is for the happiness of each family member. There are families today that are live in absolute misery because 2 and 3 year old Johnny can't behave. And everybody is miserable. And it's the parents' fault. Because they do not exercise their authority. So this is an attack against the authority of mom and dad. If the family structure fails, then the structure of a sane society falls with it. And we see that today. The family is in shambles overall. Speaking overall, not every family. And a sane society has collapsed. God's design for children under parental care is obey. Obey. We see it here in Ephesians 6, verses 1 through 3. We see it in Colossians 3, verse 20. Children are to obey. That means that they are to submit to when mom and dad say yes or no. And no seems to be a word that's lost today on many parents. They are to submit to that. And may I say, they are not to submit just outwardly. Parents must have their children's hearts. And if you don't have their heart, you're going to lose them very quickly. You've got to have their heart. They cannot be allowed to obey, but in a disrespectful manner, shaking their head, rolling their eyes, or whatever. You don't have their heart. They're just obeying outwardly. And that's not going to last long. You've got to aim for their heart. It means to yield. It means to comply with the authority of mom and dad. And again, this is without rolling the eyes or smarting off or whatever. It is to perform what mom and dad says. It's to act in accordance with the instruction of mom and dad. This is what it means to obey. To obey. God tells you and I to do something. We do it, but we roll our eyes, we murmur, we complain, we shake our heads. Have we obeyed? No, we haven't. And so it is with a child as well. Clean up your room, and they go in their room and they're throwing things. Might be throwing them in the toy box, but they're not obeying. Well, they're obeying the outward command, but you got a problem. The problem is in the heart. And again, if you don't have their heart, you're not going to have them long. You're going to lose them. So again, the implication here, obey. The implication is the authority and the responsibility of parents. And there is a responsibility of the children to the parents. Disobedient to parents implies that parents have a responsibility to be an authority to their children. It was to the praise of Abraham that he commanded his children. Notice in Genesis 18. Genesis 18, verse 19. For I know him that he will command his children and his household after him. This is God commending Abraham. He will command his children. He will exercise his authority. And they shall keep the way of the Lord. So this was to the honor of Abraham. And when parents exercise parental authority, that is an honor. But in a society given over to a reprobate mind, parental authority is all but removed in our society. And children know it. And children are taught by the example of parents, by the example of society, that parental authority is no longer important, is no longer necessary. In fact, in a society given over to a reprobate mind, parent and children are viewed as equals. They're not equals. That's absurd. They're not equals. Children, obey your parents. That means you're not their equal. Parents have authority. That means children are not their equal. Sharon and I, on occasion, will watch, I just forgot the name of the show, House Hunters. It is amazing how many people, moms and dads go in, they've got a 5-6-year-old boy or girl, and they'll say, well, we have 3 votes. Are you serious? You're going to pay X amount of money for a house, and your 5-year-old has an equal vote? I never had a vote in my life when I was a child. They're not equals. But that's an insane society. That a little child is equal with mom and dad. And they have an equal say. That's insanity. In a society given over to a reprobate mind, again, children, parents are equals. As a result, children are given disastrous leeway. May I say also, children and parents are not friends. Oh, children, your best friend you've got is a good parent. But it's not a level of friendship. Friendship's equal. It's not a level of friendship. Hopefully when your children become adults, you can have a friendship. But as long as you're raising them, it's not a friendship thing. It's mom and dad have authority. Mom and dad set the rules. Mom and dad set the boundaries. And it really doesn't matter if you agree with them or not. And children are not, when children are equals, that means they argue. I mean, it's insanity for a 5-year-old to think that he has an argument with mom and dad, and it's even more insane that mom and dad allow such. But that's where we are. Disobedient to parents.
So when God's design and order is rejected, disaster is soon to follow. A breakdown in the structure of authority, I don't care what it is, a breakdown in the structure of authority is going to result in chaos. In Judges 21, verse 25, we see every man did that which was right in his own eyes. That is, everyone became their own authority. And when children become their own authority, when children are allowed to become their own authority, disastrous results are going to follow. Chaos is going to happen. Now notice Isaiah chapter 3. Isaiah chapter 3. There is a God-ordained order. And in Isaiah 3, this order has been rejected. Isaiah 3 verse 12. Has for my people, children are their oppressors. Something wrong with that picture. Children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. This is nothing against women, but it goes against God's authority. Women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee. Who's leading them? Women. Cause thee to err and destroy the way of thy paths. Why? Because God's order has been forsaken. And when God's order is forsaken, error is going to follow. Serious error. Children, we all do, but especially children. Children need boundaries. Children need a fence. And mom and dad are the ones who set those boundaries. And parents have a responsibility to their children, to themselves, and to society to establish boundaries for their children and to teach their children. It's amazing. We'll teach our dog the boundaries of a yard. But parents, the same parents who teach their dog that won't teach their children boundaries. There's boundaries. And you'll correct your dog if it violates the boundary that you've set. But somehow, believe me, children are much more important than your dog. Boundaries don't matter. Children need boundaries. Children need boundaries. For their own benefit, they need boundaries. For the benefit of others, they need boundaries. And they have to be taught to respect those boundaries that are in place. Whether they be boundaries of mom and dad, boundaries set by others, boundaries set by a school, boundaries set by a society. Children are always being taught boundaries. And they have to be taught to respect those boundaries. Nowadays, if a school tries to set boundaries, mom and dad's down at the school, my children shouldn't have boundaries. There's boundaries all through life. And you may say to the school, I don't agree with your boundaries. You're going to have to observe boundaries you don't agree with all your life, so get used to it. And our children need to be taught that as well. So parents are responsible to train their children. We see this all through the Scriptures. Disobedient to parents. Authority, parental authority is rebelled against. Parents, you look at children. The happiest children are not the children that are given free roam. The happiest children are children that have boundaries. I mean, just observe it. It's true all the time. You may think, well, I want to give my children a happy life, so I'll just let them do what they want. That's not what they need. And that's not even what they want. There's a comfort in children knowing mom and dad have set some boundaries. There's an assurance of safety in that. Boundaries. And the happiest kids are those who have boundaries. Disobedient to parents. Boundaries have been obliterated. Next week we'll get into the responsibility of training. But a parent, when they say concerning a 4 or 5 year old or a 10 year old, whatever, I just can't control them. Are you hearing yourself? I just can't control them. That first of all, that's a lie. Be honest. I don't want to be bothered controlling them. Or I don't want them to dislike me. I don't want them to get mad at me. Just be honest. Just be honest and say, I'm a narcissist and it's all about me, and that's why I don't control them. Be honest. Disobedient to parents, and eventually those children grow up to be adults, and then some boss in a workforce has to put up with the brat that parents have raised. And society has to put up with. And that's where we are today. We have adults that are brats. They've been used to getting their own way all their life. And now we have to deal with them. And you talk to anybody that runs a business today. It's difficult. It's difficult to find good employees. Because a lot of business owners, let's face it, all they are babysitters. It's pretty much how it is in churches as well. Babysitting. Disobedient to parents has disastrous results throughout life. Not just in child rearing, but throughout life. Somebody has to deal with a spoiled brat. God help us again to rise above the society that we live in. And we thank God for parents. They're few, but we thank God for parents who train their children, who set boundaries for their children. We thank God for that. God help us. Let's look to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the families that you've given us. We do thank you, Lord, that you've set an order for the family. And we pray, Lord, that that order would always be observed amongst your people. Lord, we pray that you just draw us closer to you. Help us, Lord, this day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.